good to be back in the house of the Lord, to be with the saints again one more time. As we come together to write and divide His Word, and we want to continue to pray for all the sick and the shut in. So the girls we did go home on Monday, and she's doing well. Visited with her the other day, but she went home. Surgery well done, and want to continue to pray for Sister Goldsby, as well as Brother and Sister Smith, as well as Sister Smith, and all the sick and the shut in, especially those of the household of faith. Good to see the Harden family, as was stated, back with us today. But glad to see all of you, amen, as we come together to rightly divide God's Word. So let's begin tonight our study, John chapter 18. The devil sure is busy, amen. Very busy. And that's the reason why the Bible says, come ye out from among them. But you know, I love that phrase over in Romans 8, when the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be what? And that's a beautiful phrase that we talked about. It really hinges on that phrase that I am. I am the divine sovereign relationship to who we serve. We serve God the Father, amen. That is, that in Him all things are possible. And that's the reason why we trust in the Lord, to realize that everything going to be all right. So let's go ahead and begin tonight and begin reading here. Verse 8, Jesus answered, I've told you that I am He. I am He. If therefore you see me, let these go thy way. Let these go thy way. Let these go thy way. Speaking in behalf of His disciples, that the saying might be fulfilled which He spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. In relationship to fulfillment of prophecy, in relationship to that word apostle, mean one sent by God for a specified reason. See, apostle was given for a specified reason. In fulfillment of Luke 19:10, to seek and save that which was lost. And He said, but none have I lost. And then Simon Peter, and we talked about that a little bit, having a sword. And I think about Hebrews 4:12. He kind of had the wrong sword, amen. He should have had the sword of the Spirit, amen, in relationship to carnality versus spirituality. And sometimes we let carnality fight our battles, but we don't let carnality fight our battles, but we let the Word of God. Let's go to that right quick. Hebrews 4:12. That is, to be able to make a proper decision and not fight with the flesh and not fight with the sword as Peter did, but fight with the Word of God, amen. Fight with the Word of God. And I like what the Hebrew writer says over in Hebrews chapter 4:12. It's a beautiful lesson for us to learn over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. When he said, for the word of God is quick, amen, and powerful, Romans 1:16, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit. And what it has the capability to do, if it's utilized. And of the joints and marrow, it is the discerner of the thoughts and intent, that is the purpose of the heart, of the mind, in relationship to what the Word of God could do. But because of Peter's human side, he took the wrong approach in relationship to use the sword. But instead, he should have been using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's a lesson for all of us to learn in relationship to conflict that we come in contact every day. I mean, just because we are Christian, we're still in the world. Well, see, but we have an advantage over the world. And that advantage is the power of the Word of God, of Romans 1:16, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but the power of God unto salvation. Go with me one more time and we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 6 because I'm trying to make a point in relationship to decisions we make. Peter made a bad decision. In life, we make bad decisions. But the only time we make bad decisions is when we leave the Word. See, as long as you stay in the Word and understand what is the will of the Lord, to know, to be transformed, and the decision that you make is based on the intent and purpose of the will of God, everything going to be all right. But when you go outside the word, that is when you don't put on the whole armor of God, and that you don't realize that the spirit of the sword of the word of God is quick and powerful. At that point, see, you lose your protection of the ceiling of Ephesians 4:30. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, about verse number 11, here he warns us that we should put on the whole armor of God. And once you put it on, you should keep it on. That is, from a newborn baby who desire, teach them to observe all things which I have commanded, study to show yourself approved unto God, through examination. That is, that should be a constant focal point in our life. That is, wherever we go, whatever we do, put on the whole armor of God. Matter of fact, don't never take it off. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the reason why is because we're in the world, amen? The world all around us. Your kin folks, your job, your next door neighbor. See, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So what we got to be able to do is take that spirit of the sword, the word of God, and put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to fight the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Because the devil, he's busy. Sometimes I think we think that just because we are saved and just because everything is all well with us, that the devil don't have no reach to us. That's not true. The devil still has a chance till we take that last breath. That's why Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto what? Then when John 8:31 says, if you continue in my word. See, being a Christian and using the spirit of the word, see, it's something that we're continuing in 24 hours a day. I mean, we should go to sleep with Jesus on our mind and wake up with Jesus on our mind. Jesus should be on our mind 24 hours a day if we put on the whole armor of God to be able to fight the wiles of the devil. In order for us to make proper decisions, because see, that's going to be decisions that we're going to have to make. And we've been promised the victory. But the only way we're going to achieve the victory, it got to be done through the power of the word of God, not by things that are carnal, not things that can't be proven by the word of God, things based on worldly ideals or worldly functions or carnality. Because we are better than that. Because we have came ye out from what? Among them. See, we're not like them. We're peculiar, Peter said. We are a royal priesthood. So because we are better than they are in a spiritual sense, amen, we as Christians supposed to be those written epistles, written and read in the heart of all men. Because guess what, folks? If folks going to see Jesus, the only way they're going to see Jesus by the life that we live. Because they can't see Jesus no other way but through me and you. Amen? Because we are his what? Disciples. And that's the point. I think that we need to learn from that. Yeah, Peter acted hastily. I read in a book while I was getting prepared. They said, well, they didn't know whether Peter was left hand or whether Peter was right hand. They didn't know whether Peter used his left hand or he was behind Jesus when he cut his ear. It don't even matter. It don't matter. Romans 15:4, once those things are written aforetime were written for our learning. What should we learn from this here? Well, he acted wrongly. He acted carnal. He acted in a world. That's the way the world works. And we as Christians don't work that way because we got something that's quick and it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And guess what it is, brethren? It's the word of God. When I hear people say, well, I don't have time. Well, I'm going to do it, but I just don't have time. That worries me. That really worries me for a Christian to say they don't have time to come to church. Well, I'm going to try to come. I don't know. That worries me. That worries me when we don't have the spirit like John. When John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I mean, we should have woke up this morning with just hungry and thirsting with being with your brethren tonight. Amen? Amen? Because what are we going to get? The blessing that we're going to get. as brothers and sisters in Christ, that one body, but many members, guided by that one spirit, which is the word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? See, that's the beauty. See, but see, you can't understand that. You don't know that if you don't have the understanding to know that you have been transformed, not conformed. Because see, we can't conform like the world. See, and so many times. See, it disturbs me when I see preachers trying to be competitive with denominationalism. Because we already are better. We are more than conquerors, amen. We are better. Go into Romans 8. I love Romans 8. I tell you, and I look at them all the time in Romans chapter 8 very quickly, when he talks about death, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in, who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Y'all see that? Who are in, you got to be in Christ Jesus. You got to be a part of the church. You got to be faithful. Amen. Because what sin is, God is what? He's just not there. Amen. And then because we are in Christ Jesus, not like Peter who acted in the flesh, but we act in the spirit. Amen. The proper attitude. See, your proper attitude. You hear people say, well, he really preached too long. Is that a proper spirit? Is that a proper spirit? Is that such an animal too long when you're dealing with God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit? Is that a proper spirit to have? Or are people complaining about the song leader? Are people complaining about the man who prayed too long? A worship service too long? Is that a proper spirit to have? In relationship to understanding what he's saying here, there therefore not no condemnation to those who are in. See, God wants you in Christ Jesus, and you understand what is God's intent and purpose. Well, number one, you can't measure time with God. Amen. See, like when Peter preached at midnight. See, we could continue on through midnight, but because you're in the proper spirit, you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know it. It's just like watching a movie. You ever watched a movie, and then the movie got so good, and then when you got through, you looked at your clock, and you say, man, I ain't realized that movie was 3 hours long. Because you're so wrapped up in it. You had the proper spirit about the movie. You understand what I'm saying? Why can't we have that same spirit? But see, to have that same spirit, he tell you. You got to be what? In Christ Jesus. See, when you're in Christ Jesus through the word, by putting on the whole armor of God, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you got your mind based on God's intent and God's purpose, amen, see, then you can understand what Paul is saying to the church at Rome in verse 28. And he says, and we know. And that's the key word, and we know. I know this. Don't you know this here? The world don't have no control over us, amen. The world can't touch us. We are Christians, amen. But you got to be in Christ Jesus, right? You got to make proper decisions, amen. And we know that all things, not some things. You think God turned things on, turned things off? God the same yesterday, today, what? He don't change. We change. God don't change. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, how we're called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, according to his purpose. Drop down to verse 31. He said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 35. See, who shall separate us? Amen. From the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. See, all those are worldly things. Amen. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, you need to underline that. But you got to be in Christ Jesus. You got to realize what your weapon is. It's the word of God. It's quick and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You ain't got to fight with no gun. Christian says, I got my peace. Well, this is my peace. Amen. I remember when I worked for the Post Herald, it was the morning paper. And all the distributors that was there all carried guns in their trucks. Because it's dangerous. You out by yourself, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in your morning, and you out riding around. It's dangerous. And they all had guns. And one of them came to me and said, well, Al, do you have a gun? I said, no. I said, why not? I got one. It's quick and it's powerful. It'll shoot faster than your gun will shoot. Amen. He said, what is it? Why can I get one? He thought, baby, you can go buy it from somewhere else. I said, man, it's the word of God. I'm a Christian, amen. He said, I'm a Christian too, but. I said, now that's your problem right there. When you said but, you didn't have to say no more. As long as I was out there, over 20-some years, no one never tried to rob me. No one never tried to hurt me or whatever it may be. Because I left home with the whole armor and I came back with the whole armor. Amen. Because that's the vehicle. Because he said, now all these things were more than conquerors to him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. Things now and things next week. A thing 6 months from now. And that word to come mean, as long as you stay in Christ Jesus, as long as you realize that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp and into his word, sword, as long as you put on the whole armor of God, folks, we ain't got nothing to worry about. We don't have to fight like the world. Because we're not of the world. We're in Christ Jesus. And that's the beauty of being a child of God. We don't have to fight like Peter did. But Peter, he was human. He didn't know no better. See? Because he already told him, you're going to do it 3 times. He already told him. He said, when it crow, it's going to happen. But it did happen. But the good thing about the word of God, that when you study to show yourself approved unto God, when you realize Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime, that we can learn from this example. Same way we did in Leviticus, same way we did in Numbers, same way we're doing in Deuteronomy. See, I got a text, an email yesterday from someone, and it is amazing how God can literally open up the earth and just literally destroy. See, when our young Christian sent that in, he just, man, that's awesome. That we serve a God that can do that. But he's God. He's I am, amen. And I'm so glad that he is my God and that we can call him our Father, which art in heaven, amen. I'm so glad that we are in Christ Jesus and that we have the word of God, which is quick and powerful, and that we have the ability to put on and keep on the whole armor of God to fight the wiles of the devil, because in all of these things, we can do all things through Christ. And that's something, brethren, that you hear me saying this here, you hear it coming out my mouth, but hearing it and not applying it ain't worth 15 cents. So you can hear it, but not believe it. Faith without works is what? See, you can hear it. See, you can go to the scriptures and you can see it, but not believe it until you be transformed through understanding, through knowledge, by the renewing of your mind. And that's something that you need to do, I need to do every day, 3 times a day, 4 times a day, whatever it may be. That is that you hook up to the word. See, hook up somewhere, sometime to the word to get that spiritual nourishment. that you need. That's putting on the whole armor of God. See, in order not to be conformed, because it's easy to be conformed. We live in a world today where conformity, see, you just get caught up in it. Because, see, the world all around us, amen. I mean, we live in a world where everything is quick and fast. The internet. We live in a world that everything is just so fast. You know, instant TV. I mean, cell phones. Things happen, you know, instantly. So we've been bombarded with the internet. We've been bombarded with phones. We've been bombarded with just 24-hour TV. So you just, this stuff just being thrown at us all the time, amen. It's just been thrown at us, amen. See, just in Atlanta yesterday, the man went in to the school. It happened again today. See, this happened, this happened, this happened. But see, you don't put nothing in to be transformed. That is that if we don't never elevate our mindset, that's what I'm saying. You got to elevate your mind above the world and keep it there. Because there are going to be decisions the husbands are going to have to make. There are going to be decisions the husband and wife are going to have to make. There are going to be decisions whereby when husband and wife have to make it, they have to be one. They have to be on twain. Because it's going to come, I'm telling you, brother, because that devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And see, that devil is out to destroy. I think John 8:44, that's something you should read just constantly to keep us in mind of who our enemy is. Because we're fighting a warfare. Right? Every day. And that's the reason why, you know, every night when we go to bed and you still sanctified, that's enough to say amen. And wake up and you still sanctified, and that's enough to say amen. When you wake up in the morning, if you're next to your wife, I mean, and when you say good morning, the next thing you should say, thank God for Jesus. For number one, for waking up. And number two, still being saved and sanctified. Amen. That's by the grace of God. Amen. See, I don't spend a lot of time on this here, but the reason why is because it's a wonderful lesson. So it's a wonderful principle that we should not get caught up. Because that law of reciprocity, or that sowing process, I call it the sowing process, can go good or it can go bad. Like I heard a man say the other day, he said, be careful who you call a friend. Because a friend, if he can't take you in a positive way, he ain't your friend. Well, number one, the world can't take you in a positive way in a spiritual sense. Because they're not spiritual. So therefore, they can't be your friend. You understand what I just said? Now, if you say he's your friend, but he's taking you in a negative way, something that's contrary, well, how can you say he's your friend? You hear what I just said? See, what you say, brother? James 4. See, that's the whole point. See, but you got to be able to make decisions because, see, there are going to be situations, you as parents, in relationship to your children. Wasn't that a wonderful lesson Sunday evening? And that just been on my mind so much, I listened to the tape again. Matter of fact, I listened to it twice. Those three principles that he talked about. The three principles. That catch rid of. We all have been there. See? And it's just so sad that sometimes this gentleman here that he talked about, that he really wasn't that bad of a person. He just got caught up. He wasn't able to make proper decisions. He didn't realize until it was too late that the word of God is quick and powerful. His mom and daddy couldn't tell him. He got caught up in sin. His friends and his associates, they didn't take him in a positive way. They took him in a negative way. See, and because of that sowing process of Galatians 6, y'all know what I'm talking about, that sowing process? You sow toward the flesh, you get what? Corruption. You sow toward the spirit, you get everlasting life. I call it a sowing process through the seed of Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God. See how you harvest. See, what you harvest, when you harvest. See, it depends on what kind of crop that you get. I was walking yesterday, and this guy I know, and he been stopping me. He says, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Hey." He says, "I got something for you." And he has some fresh peas, kind you have to shell. And he says, "And some more tomatoes." He said, "Do you want some more fresh tomatoes and peas?" I said, "No. Somebody just brought me some." I said, "I don't want them. Let me finish telling you." Because I was walking, and there was two bags, and I didn't want to tote the bags back home. Yeah. And I said, well, yeah, but let me come back tomorrow or the next day and get them. He said, "Well, no." He said, "Because they might be bad. I really want to get rid of them tonight. I just picked them, and they're fresh." He said, "I really want you to, but I understand, you know." I said, "Okay, I'll take them. I'll take them." So I got this morning, and I said, "Come on, darling, let's share these peas." I got to about the 10th pea. I said, "I don't know about this. You know, this is just too much work. But you know, I ain't shared peas in a long time. I'm just telling you the truth." And it was a big old bag of them. And looking like about 10,000 peas up in that bag. But the whole point of the story is, the sowing process was, that we did finally got them all shaped, peeled, or whatever you want to call them. Darla put them on. And about 2 o'clock, I got me a spoon. And I tasted a spoonful. Boy, what you talking about? Because in my mind was that I didn't want them. I even thought when I start going through shelling them, I said, "I'll just get eaten somebody else." But see, I'm about to make the wrong decision. Yeah, and we all sometimes make wrong decisions, don't we? What do you say? That's right. Well, that's a law of reciprocity, how we sow. See, that's the principle of life that we're talking about here in relationship. But see, that sowing process got to begin with that understanding of Ephesians 5:17, right? To know, see, because see, my understanding was I saw the peas and I understand what peas were, even to the point I told Darla, I said, "Well, Darla, you know, we went to Walmart and bought a bag for $3.98. But they wouldn't have been that good. And they wouldn't have been that fresh." But see, my understanding was being clouded because I was being lazy. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be involved in it. So no pain, no gain in relationship to sowing process. That is, it took me some pain of going through it. I even told Shante, I said, "Shante, come on, help us." And then Barry wanted to stick his hand and throw half of them out the pan. And I was fighting him. That's just children's nature. I just want to stick his hand because he never seen nothing like that before. But it's a sowing process that we all should understand in relationship to understand it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And I think this is a beautiful lesson that we need to learn, because go back to John. And then another thing about this. Did it make a difference? What Peter did it make a difference? Did it change the outcome? Did it change whether Jesus went to the cross or not went to the cross? See, a lot of time, action that we do, sometimes it don't even benefit us. You ever made a decision and that decision came back to haunt you? Or have you ever made a decision to the point you wish that you had never made the decision? You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, see, what he did, it didn't even matter. It didn't matter. See, something that we do, if it's based on the word of God, it's to benefit us, right? See, but that's that law of sowing, or reciprocity, that is, see, when you sow toward the flesh, the end result going to be what? Corruption. Versus the spirit, that's everlasting life. And that's the point. Go ahead, brother. Uh-huh. That's right. That's it. That's it. That's it. Go back to Romans 8 right quick. I'm going to go one more time to it, and then we'll move on. Read the whole chapter if you need to. But go back. I want to read a couple of verses here in Romans 8. Because he went on to say, and I'm just going to pick some verses out. Verse 6. And I want you to see. See, for to be carnal minded, right, Galatians 6, 5, is death. Right? See, every time we make improper decisions, death, now that death might not be, it gonna kill you, but you're dead to sin. Spiritually dead. If you play with it long enough, it'll kill you. Amen? But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Amen? Now hold your spot right there and go with me to Galatians, and let's compare. Go to Galatians 6. And let's look at the comparison. Because in Galatians 6, 7, here Paul told the church of Galatia, don't be deceived. See, the devil fool us, don't he? The devil have fooled us. The devil have made a fool out of us, amen? Because we all have sin, right? Some of us still are fooled. Amen? God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Stop. Go back and tell the truth about your life, my life. And look at your life. And you ain't got to go back too far. Amen. And think of things that you have done. Get your pad and write those things down. And then list the results. You understand what I'm saying? Just think about your life. Don't look at nobody else's life. Look at your life. And then look at the word of God becoming true. Because God would not be what? Mocked. It's just a principle. Then he goes on in verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap what? And don't he say the same thing? Go back here to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. Don't he say, for to be carnal minded is what? Death. Am I right? Right, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, by that word death. Amen. Right, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, by that word corruption. It's going to happen. That's a fact of life. And it happens. Brother Frazier made a good point. See, everything for me and you has already been purposed through the word of God. Do you not know that? Our whole life is purpose through the word of God. And because it's through the word of God, it ain't nothing bad. It's all good. Amen? Well, you may ask the question, well, why do bad things happen to us? Well, bad things happen to us because we make bad decisions. You can't blame God. You blame yourself. Amen? You go back and look at your life. Because, see, we got the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, am I right? And because we got the perfect law of liberty, it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to study, to show yourself approved. Why? So that you can make proper decisions utilizing the word of God, see, which is quick and powerful. How? By putting on the whole armor of God. So this evening, I ain't say tomorrow. Some of y'all say, well, why are you going to say this evening? Because, see, we're still breathing. Time's still moving. Right? So I ain't going to wait till tomorrow to say, well, you ain't going to make no decision tomorrow. No, it may come in an hour from now. See, that's the reason why he said, put on the whole armor of God. See, you'll never take it off. The reason why if you continue, you don't never stop. Because, see, you need that ceiling. Ephesians 4:30 all the time. See, you need that spiritual wall around you all the time. See, he's going to shoot dots at you. That's the devil, am I right? And then he said, for he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit, ain't that a big ass paraphrase? Which is the word of God, am I right? Hebrews 4:12, am I right? 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, shall of the spirit, see, you get it from the spirit, which is the word of God. I'm making another point. See, how can you be out of the spirit and be blessed with the spirit? How can you not be in this church and still have the spirit? You understand what I'm saying? See, you can't be out of the spirit and still be blessed with the spirit. I hear people say, well, I'm highly favored, highly blessed, but you're doing something else contrary to the spirit. That can't happen. Because only when the spirit going to bless you, you got to be in the spirit. Right? Because you can't be blessed outside the spirit. Amen. What Peter did was outside the realm of the spirit. You with me? See, that's another identifying mark, brother, to let you know what we're doing is right. A lot of times people question the church. A lot of times people question the intent and purpose of God in relationship to the work of the church. That's the reason why the church is so divisive. See, someone called me the other day and wanted to know about what church they should go to. And we got a little book downstairs and I looked at it. And they got about 9-10 different churches you can pick from. They got the OCs, they got the Cs, they got the Ws, they got the Cs, they got the NIs, they got the INs. And I got to look at it and I said, what do all these different INs, the Cs, and all these mean? I went back and looked. You got the one couples, you got the institutionalism, non-institutionalism, you got the Bs for the blacks, got the W's for the whites. But see, they label all these different churches that if you go out of town, so you may say, well, I'm looking for a black non-institutional church instead of just the Church of Christ. Or you may say, well, I'm looking for one who's a OC, one couple. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's contrary to the Spirit, because the Spirit don't teach that in 1 Corinthians 12:12, by one Spirit, where we're all baptized into one body. Same thing that he's saying here. Look what he says here. But he that soweth to the Spirit. See, when you sow to the Spirit, to the Word of God, utilize the Hebrews 4:12 and Ephesians 6:11, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So when you take the Spirit, and you sow with the Spirit, the only thing you're going to get is what the Spirit going to give you. There's no way, brother, that you can be in the Spirit and out of the church. It's impossible. It just don't work that way. How can you going to be in something when you're out of it? How are you going to say you in it when you're not a part of it? You've never been added to it. Amen. See, and that's just a principle. But see, the principle is based on that sowing process. And then it goes on to say, now right quick, go back to Romans 8. It goes on to say, and I want to finish this here. He says in Romans chapter 8, look what he says here. He says, for to be carnal minded is death all the time. Every time. Anytime you go outside the spirit, it's death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace, because the carnal minded, look what he says, is enmity against God. You can't be a friend of God if you're not in the spirit. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, look what he says here, you cannot please God. It just can't happen. And then brother is going to say, I don't understand why y'all say this. I don't understand why y'all do that. Well, we do this here because we want to stay in the spirit. Who don't want to be a friend of God? Who don't want to please him? Amen. But here we go again. Peter made a bad choice. See, and instead of him using the Spirit, even though he hadn't got there yet, I agree with him. And we all have been that way. We hadn't grown to that point. He just didn't understand. It just was his nature. But that don't make it right. I mean, are you going to tell me that all people, just because they ain't got there, going to be saved if they're not in the Spirit? Well, sin is God or not. See, and don't tell me. I hear brother say, "Well, brother Lyle, they just ain't where you are, brother Lyle. They getting there." You can be in the Spirit and still be a babe in Christ. You can be in the Spirit. Now you might not know as much as Frazier, or you might not can sing like Sean, or whatever you may be. But that's all right in your own way. You in the Spirit. Now, it may be a growing process that you're going to have to develop, but you can be in the Spirit. So don't say, well, brother Lyle, don't get up in that pulpit and tell folks this here. They just ain't where you at. They're supposed to be where I'm at. We're different. But you can be in the Spirit. You can realize that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than into its sword. You can realize that you need to study, show yourself approved. You can realize that you need to put on the whole armor of God to fight the wiles of death. And brethren, you don't need to know how to quote no scripture to know that. That's just the right thing to do. Mindset. Last comment. Go ahead, brethren. What last comment? We had 2 minute comments. But go ahead, brother. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yes, sir. That's it. And the reason is because we are creatures of what we were. 1 John 2, see, the lust of the flesh, am I right? The lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, and even though you jump on the head and you detect the truth, Peter still didn't understand. Like so many other people. You know, people come to church, but they don't understand. That's the reason why only a few are going to be what? Everyone, Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? See, a lot of people here, James talked about that, right? But see, their faith is not strong enough to be motivated in order to make a transformation. See, that people know that the power lies in the Word of God. But do we understand? And most people just don't. And the reason why is, you know the reason why, Sean? That's something that is blocking the seed. Y'all know what that is? See? And until you get it all out, you got to empty everything out. Am I right? So you got to get everything out, see, in order to be what? Made anew. See, and that's really why when you are buried with him in baptism, you arrive to walk in newness of life, and you become a new creation, right? Well, at that point, he said, teach them to observe all as newborn babes desire. See, at that point, see, It's a twofold. That is, it's the desire to be taught. Then we have a responsibility to be an example to them, to teach them, to observe all things that I would have commanded. See, the sad thing about being a Christian, that is that it's not the word. See, the word is perfect. The church is perfect. You know the problem with the church is people. It's a people problem. See, I say all the time, if you look at how the early church was developed, the early church, God had put everything in purpose and intent for us not to never want nothing. The church wanted to take care of itself. That's why the Bible says, for the saints, for the saints, for the saints, for the saints, in everything that we do. Why? Because it's the church's responsibility to take care of the church. Why? Because we have all things common. Amen. But see, that word can't work. I'm telling you, it ain't going to work. The sowing process is just not going to work. It can't penetrate until. See, one of the points yesterday in your little bulletin that you got is that forgiveness. See, we don't learn how to forgive. See, we don't learn the act of forgiving. We don't learn why we need to forgive. When brothering the seed ain't going to penetrate. Am I right? Other measures. So until you get rid of it, come ye out among them, be ye separate, said the Lord. See, you'll never understand what we have in this book. See, this here is worth more gold than silver. I'm telling you, brethren, if you understood it and you understood it, you'll be in it. Because this can change lives. See? And that's the point. All right, well, we're out of time. Appreciate you being with us today. Good point. All right, Saturday, 3:00. We're looking forward to everybody being with us at Pleasant Grove Park.